pray. God, we're going to have fun today. And I also sense that many of us are going to get hit between the eyes because we're going to see something we hadn't seen before and experience something we haven't experienced before. And it's going to be you speaking to us. And I pray that that happens. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, first week of this series, we took a look at how everybody is each other's neighbor. And we should love our neighbor as ourselves and love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And in terms of connection and media and the internet, we are all connected like never before. And in spiritually speaking, how we interact with each other definitely connects us with God and other people. We're all connected with each other. Last week, we took a look at how meteorologists and philosophers and mathematicians have come up with this thing called the butterfly effect, which illustrates that the flapping of a single butterfly's wings can affect worldwide weather patterns directly or indirectly, because in this world, we are all connected. I have a friend of mine who has a younger son and a youngest daughter, and the son just teases his younger siblings. And I don't understand why anybody would do that. I mean, I'm an oldest child, and I only treat with utmost respect and dignity my younger brother and sister. Well, finally, my friend got really upset with his oldest son. We'll just call him Billy, and we'll call the girl Sally. And he said, "Billy, you know what you're doing right now? Right now what you're doing is you are conditioning yourself to be a bad date. Because the way you treat Sally is the way you're going to treat your date. And the way you treat your date is going to be the way you treat your wife. And then you're going to get divorced someday. All because you're messing with Sally right now because you're conditioning yourself to not be a good man. And it's all related. And Sally, you know what's going to happen to Sally? Because you're teasing Sally, she's not going to trust men. She's not going to trust men, and she's going to go out on a date with people, and she's not going to trust them. And every once in a while, she's going to make a bad decision, and someday she's going to get married, but she's still not going to trust men, and it's going to affect her marriage. She's not going to have good communication. She's going to get divorced after she's had kids, and her kids' lives will be messed up, all because you teased your little sister, Sally. Understand, the stakes of the game are huge." Maybe overblew the situation a little bit, but don't we know it is all connected? And so three big things I'm looking at today is this. We are like God. We are free in God. And you are authorized by God. That's the three big points. Let's take another look at one of the passages I looked at last week from the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Here's what it says. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" God created men and women in his own image. You know what this means? It means you are like God. We are like God. In some unique way, you are like God. Unlike anything else that's created, anything else that crawls on the ground, walks on the ground, flies in the air, there's something about you that you uniquely reflect who God is. You are like God. Now, there's various interpretations, understandings of why this is. I think there's two big ones that I want to drill down on today. We are like God relationally, and we're like God creationally. Relationally, God is doing this relational thing where he's talking with other people or talking with himself. He said, "Let us make men and women in our image." God is in community. He thrives in relationships, and so do you and I. You and I love relationships. Now, other animals have a relational element as well. My dog has a relational element to him, but he is nowhere near relationally complex as I am. So long as my dog has a ball to chase, food to eat, and himself to lick, he is happy. He needs... That would be the inappropriate humor part. He is happy. He needs nothing more. His relational needs aren't as intensive as mine are or as yours are. We're built to be connected. When we're not connected, we go crazy. And my dog also doesn't create things. He does create some things I don't like. But he doesn't have the level of creation that I have. How many of you saw the Omnimax thing on the beavers down at the museum? Did anybody see that thing? Yeah, that was pretty wild. Oh, a whole group of them, the beaver crowd right there, a whole group of them. It's really a fascinating thing. These beavers gnaw through 400 trees a year. 400 trees. And all you folks, you're late. You're late. That's all right. 400 trees a year they gnaw through. And I'm watching that thing going, that's pretty incredible. But at the same time, I realize that those beavers, they don't have the creational ability that you and I do. Those beavers, They have something they create, but there's never any innovation. There's never any imagination that they then apply and do a new thing. They're not going out and inventing concrete and saying, ooh, let's make our dam out of concrete. They're not going out and saying, ooh, let's invent a little lock that we can generate electricity. They're not, they're doing the same thing over and over. You and I, we invent things like concrete. We invent things like hydroelectric power. We invent things like the microprocessing chip. We even if you think you're not a creative person, when you create an Excel spreadsheet, you're creating something that maybe no one else has ever created and no beaver is going to create and no one is going to create. Now, I went to the Beavers recently, and then I also went to this other artsy thing called Cirque du Soleil recently. I don't know if you've ever heard of Cirque du Soleil. It's kind of like if you like to go to circuses created by people who do drugs, you want to go to Cirque du Soleil. It's a very fascinating thing. It's created by some French folks, French-speaking folks in Canada. They dropped out of high school on the street, and all of a sudden they had this idea, and they created this brand new kind of circus. I'm going to talk a little bit about Cirque du Soleil today. Because it weaves into what I'm talking about today. It's connected, but also realize I could virtually see anything and see God in it. Because everything's connected. There's a hardwired connection. I'm looking at the Cirque du Soleil and these people doing these weird things on rings and all these things. I don't know how in the world you think of these things. And I think, as good as a beaver is, no beaver's going out and going, Shesh, honey. Let's shave ourselves and make ourselves different colors and green and like stand on each other and let's like take our teeth and grab onto rings and swing back and forth and let's flip each other. Beavers don't think that way. Who thinks that way? You and I do. Because every time you imagine something, every time you create something, you are showing that you are like God in some way, shape, or form. You're like Him. Now, when I came to have a relationship with God, there were about age 15 or 16. I inherited values of people who were around me. And I came to view the world as this preset thing that was like a blueprint. And I've actually since come to see that the world is more like an ecosystem. And this is important to understand as you take a look at the decisions that you're all faced with and the weight of those decisions. As the blueprint goes, what the blueprint basically means is God has mapped out the entire world. He's mapped out absolutely everything. Everything is determined, predetermined, and there is a right and a wrong decision for absolutely everything that you do. Everything. Now, when I take a look at Genesis chapter 2, which gives another kind of twist on what I read earlier in Genesis 1. And by the way, if you take this literally or poetically, it doesn't affect the point that's being trying to be communicated here. And here's what it says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And now the Lord had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, it was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. And the man and the woman are actually doing this together. They're doing this relationally, and there's a creational element. But when you understand or think that the world is a set of right and wrong decisions, and everything you do is either right or wrong before God, it brings a level of burden to you. Here's the difference between a blueprint and an ecosystem. Blueprints are constriction. Someone says, this is what you do, and there's a right and wrong answer for everything. An ecosystem brings permission. There's a set of things, a set of variables, and there's a number of things that could be okay to happen in the midst of that ecosystem. Blueprints bring responsibility. The contractor has to follow the blueprints and not variate. He's responsible to just do that. Ecosystem brings interdependency. You realize that how this being interacts with that being affects the whole. We're all interdependent. We're all connected. A blueprint brings stress. An ecosystem brings freedom. Let me illustrate this in the dating area or the dating realm. I was brought up believing and being told that, you know, God has one person picked out for you. Just one. And God has the perfect mate picked out for you. You need to pray for that mate. Well, first of all, what happens then with people who don't get married? hey, there's a lot of people God is excited that they're married and or that they're single. But what about those of us who choose to get married? You know what it means when you believe that you only have one person picked out for you? There is stress. There is burden. There is responsibility. Every person you see, you're going, oh, is that the one? Is that the one? Oh, this could be the one. I remember having an opportunity to go to a camp on the other side of the country, and I thought to myself, oh, I don't really know if I should go. But what if the one that God has picked out for me is at camp? And if I don't go to camp, the one that God has picked out for me, I won't marry, and my whole life will be messed over. My whole life will be just dying. And then you start going out with people, and you're looking at them going, ooh, yeah. You're totally fixated. You're totally burdened. It's not even like you're trying to enjoy the person. You're trying to make sure that God does right. Now, my Libby and I had totally different experiences with this. She saw the back of my head from across the room, and she turned to her mother and said, I'm going to marry him. And then I turned around, she saw my face, and she said, well, maybe not. Maybe I'm not going to marry. Honestly, she didn't see the face part, but she really saw the back of my head. You know what happened with me? What happened with me is I saw her and said, ooh, looks pretty good to me. I'd like to date that. So I asked her out on a date, and I went out and took her out on a date, and I found out, you know what? Our values are pretty similar. She's got a relationship with God. I got a relationship with God. The things that I feel like I'd like to do in my life and God wants me to do, she's okay with that. That's where she's going. And boy, it's about the age I thought that I should get married. All right, this one will do. Hey, would you marry me? That's the way it worked. It wasn't any big, like, you know, voice from heaven. I felt free to make that decision. See, that's the second thing. We are free. When you come into relationship with God, you're free. You are together with Him. There is a variety of options. Take a look at Genesis chapter 2 again. And take a look at this. It's pretty interesting highlighting. He brought them, God brings these animals to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. What's God done here? He's given the man the ability to create. He's asked him to create. You create names for these. God's not going, okay, there's this thing called the platypus, and that's what you should call this. I'm going to hope you find my will and call this the platypus. No, this guy sees it and says, I create name platypus. That's it. And he has his freedom to make this choice. God doesn't say, and here's the garden, and here's exactly how you're to till it, and exactly how to take care of it, and here's exactly how long the row should be, and here's exactly the kind of seeds you should plant. There's a garden. Do the garden. There's a whole variety of options. All these options honor me. Now, there's something I don't want you to do, like eat this fruit of this particular tree, but you know, there's all these options, and I want you to go after these, enjoy these. And what we see when they were at their best, Adam and Eve and everyone else, was relational and creational. They had freedom to operate. They had freedom to do the right thing. See, if you feel like there's a burden on you, it might be because you believe in a way of reality that maybe isn't the way it should be. Started looking at different verses in the Bible, and I started seeing different things. The book of Luke, New Testament portion of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 38. This guy, Luke, wrote one of the authorized biographies of Jesus. And here's what he says. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you. It seemed good. No, hold on. This is Luke. He's going to be inspired by God to put something down that millions and millions of people regard as the way Jesus lived and walked, and it's awesome stuff. You would think that God would have like come down and made some huge spiritual cloud descend upon him and said, Luke, I am your father. That's either Star Wars or Tommy Boy, whichever you like. You think that this thing where this happened, but no, Luke says, you know, it just seemed good. It seemed like a good idea. I heard somebody once tell me that, you know, just because it's a good idea doesn't mean it's a God idea. That's crap. If it's a good idea, it's from God, because God is good. God is good. Luke says, hey, seemed like a good idea. Here's another one. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. Turn off your cell phones and listen to the speaker. It's two of the following requirements that were on there. It seemed good. It seemed like it was a thing that worked out well. You know, what you and I decide affects everything, and there are a variety of things that you can choose that positively affect everything. John chapter 15. Jesus says this in the book of John chapter 15. I want to illustrate this way. He says, you know, if a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. That's deep. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. This is deep, because Jesus seems to indicate here that there's some of us who feel God's love and some of us who don't feel God's love. Seems to indicate there's some people who have God's love and some people who don't have God's love. That's what the whole if means. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? I think it sort of means this. Like right here, there is an ecosystem. There's an ecosystem right here, which is could be seen as God's love. Could be seen of this is the thing. These are the variety of things that you can choose in your life. And God says, those things are good, and those things are all possible. And I want to give you freedom operating in the midst of this place. So I say, all these things, this way of living your life, this way of doing all these things, this is the place of freedom, and you have the ability to choose in here. And as you choose things within here, you are going to experience my love. No matter where you are, God loves you. He cares about you. It's just that you can be in a specific place where you don't feel the warmth of God's love. You know, you can be in a place where God has affection for you, but you don't get any of the benefits, or many of the benefits anyway. You don't feel the warmth of his love, because his love is around a certain set of things in a specific place. Okay, so let's talk about the dating one. You know, when I got married, anybody who's been married for any length of time knows that once you get married, there were thousands of other people who could have been as good or better spouses. I realize that there's thousands of others. Libby, when she married me, she found out there were tens of thousands of other people that could have been better than tens of thousands. There just are. And you realize that there's great freedom in these things. And, you know, and let's say you're 25 and you're like, okay, am I going to have a beer or not have a beer? That's a good, well, some people know, some people do. And, you know, there's this sense of freedom. Religion would say, here's the thing that you must do or not have. Well, do I want to read my Bible every day or every other day? Or, you know, what do I have? Well, hey, there's freedom in the midst of that. Well, should I really go to that person and confront them about something I need to say? Well, maybe. I mean, maybe not. Some of us, though, We get outside the ecosystem. We get outside and we think that we're free out here. We think, whoo, good, I'm not confined, because even though there's possibilities that I'm not confined, I can do whatever I want. But you know, really, really, you're not free. You know why? Because you don't have relationship, you also don't have power to overcome the things that you want to overpower. You think you're free, but you're really not, because you've got these addictions you can't get over. You've got these judgmental attitudes you can't kick. You've got these behaviors that you keep doing over and over again, and there is a level of pain in your life, because when you're in the dark, you keep tripping and you fall and you have bruises and you keep blaming it on God. But no, it's because it's in your dark. You're outside of the benefits of that love, and you end up bruising yourself. This is what happens to us so many times. But God invites us in and says, no, I want you to come in and have freedom. Experience all the things that my love has to operate in. The amazing thing, too, is everybody in here, as a result of you being like God and God wanting you to be free, not everybody's free, because when you're in darkness, you're not free. You can't see very well. But when you're free and when you realize that you are like God, there's this other real wild thing that you realize is that you're authorized. You're authorized. I've got this notice that I could have these free tickets to Cirque du Soleil. I don't know why I got this notice. I don't know what that's all about. But I got this notice. I said, okay, you can have these tickets. I said, good, great, fine. I'll take them. And then what I had to do the day of the showing at the Cirque du Soleil was I had to go down and pick up the tickets. Or I could send somebody else down to pick them up for me with an authorized letter. And so I had a busy day that day, so I had my assistant do that for me. I wrote a letter, I signed my name to it, and then I went to somebody on staff who's a notary, and I had them notarize, authorize that letter. Yes, this is what Brian Tome wants, and this is his will. And then she takes that letter down to the person, gives that letter, and says, here it is. They see she's authorized, and she gets the letter. See, what God does with Adam and Eve, by him putting his image on them, they are created in the image of God, is every human being is authorized. Poof! There's a stamp on your life. There's a notarized stamp on your life. Where you know how God gets stuff done in the earth? You! You! That's how! Let's all pray. Let's ask God to do all that He can do. Obviously, yes, yes, yes. And you know how God does things? Through people who He has authorized. Through people who He has His image on. Through people who He stamps. All the problems there are in darkness and all the things that you notice in your life that you don't like or things that you want to change here or there. The answer to the most of those things is you. Because you're the one who is authorized. God says, I have placed you in this place to operate in my love and go be about my business. Do you realize how important you are? Isn't that amazing? You are important enough that God has authorized you, stamped you with His image. You have something about Him on you. So when you walk throughout God's green earth, something powerful is happening because an authorized person straight from the heart of God is here to bring love. Here to bring freedom. See, it's connected. And the longer you don't believe that you're connected, the longer you don't believe that you're authorized, the more the rest of us suffer. The more the world doesn't turn out the way it should. Because the way things get done is through authorized people who are like God, who are operating within their freeness. Every time I've left a Cirque show, and I've gone to a couple out in Vegas, and one up in Columbus last year, and this one, I always leave Cirque du Soleil feeling the wonder and awe of the creativity of humans, our creational aspect. And I also leave going, man, what a waste. What a waste. All that creative talent do nothing but placate people who can afford 3-figure tickets and walk away with no change done to their life. I walk away going, oh man, what would it be like if our greatest creational abilities were unleashed in dealing with the problems of our world? What would that be like? It's part of what we've tried to do in this church. We sense God saying, look, there's this thing I want your community about, connecting seekers to a community of growing Christ followers. I want you to go after that. And exactly how you structure your services, or if you have services, talk to me about that. Consult me. Maybe I'll say something or not. But I give you freedom to go after that thing. People go, man, how come you don't do this? Or how come you don't do that at Crossroads? I don't like this. Almost every time that happens, it's somebody who wants what they want for them and not for their friend who happens to not know God. And so I said, now, is that something that you would like or something that the friend that you love would like? And actually, they've realized that they don't really have any friends that aren't connected with God. And if that's the case, guess where we are? Right here in the dark, because Jesus was friends with people who weren't connected with God. I go out and I see people doing coffee. I was talking with them earlier. Some of them don't even like coffee. They're creating coffee or standing in rain and directing cars or in kids club or loading things onto a truck. Why? They're using their creational abilities, creating shipments, creating loving encounters, creating coffee inside of an ecosystem to bring about change in the world. Do you imagine? There's change that can happen in and through you. That's what we're going to talk about the rest of today. God, I know that there are thousands of different decisions in here. Tens of thousands of different decisions of people just wrestling through. Some are deciding whether or not to follow through on sort of the basic no-brainer Ten Commandments stuff. Should I continue to lie to this person? Should I continue stealing from my company? And those ones are not always easy to follow through on, but they're easy to know the answer. And so help us to now remember that decision. And I just hope people are drawn to light, drawn to remain in the love of the light instead of being in the darkness of where they've been. Others of us, we have decisions that aren't as obvious. And they're decisions that could be equally right. Who do we date? Do we date? Should I take that job promotion? Which job offer should I follow through on? Should I take a different job? My spouse, who's just come clean with the adulterous affair, do I offer grace and stay in the midst of the marriage, or to recognize this is one of the things that you say, hey, okay, I'm okay. This is a reason why I could leave the marriage. Either way, It's a decision. Perhaps there is one decision that would be better than the other, but I believe in decisions like that. You give us freedom. You give us freedom. And I also recognize that when I'm in my freedom, I want you. I want you more than I want my freedom. And I would love if you would just tell me if you have a strong opinion. I'd love if you'd give me vision, or if you give me something that's supernatural. That'd be great. And all of us would still like that. And we don't want to just abuse our freedom by thinking that we don't need you and we can't remain in you. I'm just more stunned when I think about coming to Cincinnati, how I thought with something as relatively spiritually significant as this church has become, that you would have given me some divine vision. And I didn't have it. The only thing you gave me was cold feet. That's all I had. And maybe it's because the things that we think are really important aren't all that important. The thing that's important is remaining in you. I pray freedom. Every person here, I want freedom. I want every person to feel the joy that comes with knowing that we're like you. We're like you. And the joy that comes with knowing that we are authorized for a purpose. And the silence of this place, hear the prayers that we want to give to you right now. In our own minds, or silently under our breath, hear these requests. God, I sense that there is a weightiness in here and with some people. And it's so weird. I've inherited this prayer that I've heard other people pray that I sometimes pray myself, but I think it's mindless. I don't think it's a prayer you really like. It's a prayer of, you know, give me courage. You know, as if anything difficult, you're just going to make me able to do it. And therefore, I really shouldn't do it until I feel something different. The most courageous things are the things that we know we have to do, and we step out in faith. We step out where you are, and if it was easy, if we had the courage, then we wouldn't need to remain in you. So maybe the greatest thing we need is not more courage, but we need more of a passion to remain in you, and from that we'll follow through. You know, if you sense in that time that there's something that you're authorized to do, that you're stamped to do, get your butts out of here and do it now. Really. Don't wait. Follow through and sense the warmth in following through and making that decision.